What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your positively objective reporters on objectively the best day of the week. It's Twitter Tuesday.
Yeah, welcome.
We're coming at you live at Locked On Clips. We go live every single Tuesday. That happens at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. Be there.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't, send in your questions to either at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips anytime during the week. We'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off, talking a little bit about current roster, who we think is going to stay a tenured Clipper for the longest amount of time. We're going to talk about if we should be concerned about the absence of Kawhi in off-season training videos.
He's not on the team anymore.
There's a great new hype video from Clippers media team, which you should check out if you haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about that.
We're going to talk about it.
And then we got some other great questions. We're going to keep things kind of loose and open, so if you hear us talking or commenting or laughing, you know, we're just having a great time, but you should be there. So
next time,
check us out on Twitter at Locked On Clips. Let's do it.
Before we start, I want to give a shout out to Indochino.
The biggest of shout outs, premium men's suitwear, low prices.
World's most exciting made to measure menswear company. This week, our listeners can get any Indochino premium suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Locked On, all capital letters, one word, at checkout.
Don't look like a schmuck in a fit off the rack suit. Have your suit as custom as you.
Yeah, someone on the stream is saying I love their suits.
They're really good.
There you go. You have one more suit than I do. All right, let's get into this. The Clippers released a practice hype video with, I believe, the caption of something like, it's about that time.
It's about that time, yeah.
There's probably a hammer emoji or a lockdown emoji in there. Everyone looks great.
Everyone looks really
good. Everyone looks like they're in mid-season form.
Yeah.
Zubats looks like he's added a bunch of muscle while also trimming down.
I realize that they're using, like, the intense filter on every training
pic. Yeah, they're like,
pole. Yeah. But Zu, in general, to me, has looked a little firmer.
For sure. We're going to get to our first question that is from Clipperholics that has to do with players' fitness. Clipperholics wants to know how much we think Shamet is curling. First of all, it seems like it's a lot.
I'm going to say
the dude looks way stronger than he did last season.
I'm going to say if it's more than 50 pounds, what's the point?
Okay, well, I think I think he's doing 35.
I think he's doing 40s.
I think he's doing high reps.
But I'm thinking curls are a vanity exercise that it has no practical ability into nearly anything that you ever do.
I mean, yeah, that's fair, but I like to see our guys working on those vanity muscles. You know, it is LA.
45, someone's commenting on the stream. I think 50 or below, you're good. If you're trying to curl more than 50, you're wasting your time. You're setting yourself up for injury. Could be altering your shooting form.
I really hope Shamet is working out other muscles other than his biceps, but it would be very funny if he was only working on getting those biceps super big. Okay, so big question with the video that we saw with a bunch of other videos we've seen, pretty much every Clippers offseason content, I would say.
Yeah.
Clipper Cam asked us, feeling towards not seeing Kawhi in any of our training videos with the team yet, is it worrying we haven't seen anything? No?
No.
I don't think so. This is who Kawhi is. He also has a very intense family situation happening with his sister right now. If you haven't read up on that, read up on that. So I think he's dealing with that.
The guy's Twitter is still him in a Spurs uniform.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why this is a surprise. To me, it's not a surprise at all. It's nothing I'm reading into at all, personally.
No.
It's just one of those things. The guy doesn't want to be in the public light yet. When he's ready to share those, you know, blessed training pics with us,
those ever key training,
you know, he will put them on a tablet and they will come down from the mountain and we'll be really happy.
Yeah, and another thing, Jermichael Green's also not in any of these videos, which no one's commented on yet, probably because he's not as big of a draw or star maybe as Kawhi. But there's just nothing to be worried about.
Well,
we signed both these guys to contracts.
The thing is we're, 2 weeks still outside of even training camp?
Yeah, something like that.
So I think that, like, it's different for everybody, obviously, but my guess would be that maybe Jermichael hasn't been spending the offseason in L.A.
He did have a new child.
He just had he had a daughter fairly recently, so I think that for some of the guys, they're maybe not coming into training camp before training camp.
Yeah, this is pre-training
camp. They're not coming in to do the vid before training camp, which is fine. Like, I you can't fault that. It is a job, and, you know, you do have a life.
Yeah, these are this is, like, the voluntary workouts.
Yes.
These are, like, and it's not, like, weird NFL voluntary workouts where it's, like, it's voluntary, but if you don't come, everyone's totally going to freak out. These are just clearly, I think, guys who are in town, who can get the run, who want to get familiar. And a lot of big key pieces there. The new guys are there.
Absolutely.
Mo Harkless is in there with his rose looking pristine.
He looks really good.
He looks so good. Magruder looks strong. Question from LA Arway. Who on the current roster do you expect to have the longest tenure with the Clippers? Good question.
So that is a really interesting one.
Matt Chonger added Pat Bev in terms of contracts. Shamit, Fee, and Mann, all the youngest. Trez extension with a question mark.
Yeah, so if Trez gets extended this year, which he's due for.
Oh, yes, he is.
I mean, that to me makes the most sense and is like the longest terms of a contract.
Mm-hmm. And Lou said, someone's commenting on the stream, Lou has mentioned he wants to retire a Clipper. Just not sure how many more years that's going to be.
Yeah.
Two?
For sure.
Three?
Yeah.
Maybe? I think Trez is probably in line to be on the team the longest.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is great for our team.
I mean, obviously the young guys are all locked up. Do you count, though, years of service if some of it's in the G League? Because I personally
don't. I don't, yeah. No disrespect playing in the G League, but it's just not.
Yeah, and definitely Trez.
The choice comes, though, when the extensions arise, because we're going to pay Shamit when his extensions comes up. Do you think Shamit might be on the team longer because we're going to get him at that rookie extension?
Yeah, I mean, I think, here's the thing. I've talked about this a little bit, but Trez is definitely going to enter free agency.
Yeah, for sure. As he should.
I don't think that he's going to take a lesser deal without at least shopping the market. I think that's why he got a larger agent. It's not something I'm worried about, but it's, you know, I think it's a natural thing when you grow progressively back-to-back years. You're going to want to see what's out there. Especially. I don't think that the offers are going to really wow him, especially because the highest offers are going to come from bad teams. those are the kind of people that are going to have cap space entering this free agency. I can't really think of a contender that could offer you a whole lot. So I do think that he'll re-sign. Landry Shamit. Safe bet long term.
Gotta lock him up, man.
They're gonna lock him up for the, you know, like
longest possible.
Yeah,
like
for whatever rookie extension he's available for. They might even try to make a deal with him early under the guise of, hey, you know, we've made a couple of finals runs now. We'd really like to keep you as a part of this. However, we can't give you a max extension, but you could do something similar to what the Miami Heat did with Josh Richardson, which I think was a very smart contract.
It's a good call.
It ended up being something like $80 million for four. So that's really, really solid. So longest tenure, long story short, I guess I'm going to go ahead and say Shamit.
It might be Shamit. And we're not saying one is more important than the other, but I personally think that Shamit has the priority.
Yeah.
For me, it would be Shamit above all else in terms of young guys to get re-signed. Not that we have a bunch to re-sign anyway.
Yeah.
But those guys, I think Shamit above all else would be the biggest one for me.
Unless he becomes a trade piece.
Which, Shamit's trade value, we haven't talked about it in a while, but I feel like it just keeps getting higher.
Absolutely.
The longer, it's just incredible. He's our most tradable asset. Not that we should trade him for anything, let alone say, I don't know, an Andre Iguodala or something like that. But that's a great question. Fee and Mann are really good points in there, too, with how much Jerry West talked about how much Terrence was going to play in the playoffs, seemingly. He could be in line for it, but we just don't really know what's going to happen yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People are on the streamer saying they think Trez is here the longest. I think that's a really safe bet.
Yeah. He fits the vibe so well. Not that Shamit doesn't, but Trez really fits into what this team's trying to do.
He fits the vibe too, and if he stays in this kind of role as like a six-man center, the offers, like I said earlier, just aren't going to be so insane that we're not going to be able to keep him.
Yeah, and the mismatches are always there for a center coming off the bench, I feel like.
Yeah.
Who's operating at an absurdly high level. Someone on the stream was commenting, I remember you guys guys didn't think we were getting Kawhi. Yeah, that's fair. We didn't think we were going to get two stars, but the front office got us.
I don't know, man. I temper my.
What do you want us to
do? Temper my expectations. I try to be somewhat of a realist. I don't know.
Coming up after this break, we got some more fantastic Twitter Tuesday questions, including one from across the pond, apparently.
Oh.
Want to give a shout out to Locked On NFL. Matt Chonger, fantastic loyal listener, asked if Will was gracious when he was watching the Ravens decimate my Dolphins. He was pretty chill.
I was gracious.
It was such an ass kicking. The Ravens did all the talking for him. You can check out the breakdown of all 32 NFL teams on Locked On NFL Network. Local hosts, fantastic knowledge. Check out Locked On NFL. All right, welcome to Twitter Tuesdays.
Matt Chonger is saying on the stream, imagine living life with unbridled hope. Couldn't be me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hear that one.
So at UK Clipper sent us an article and asked us a question. Could another Clipper win Sixth Man of the Year this year? Short answer, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be really, really hard for Lou to win again. I don't think that it's impossible. I would love it if he was, like, the first guy to ever three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
But would that be a three-peat? Would that be back-to-back?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I had to double-check there.
I think it's going to be harder because if Shamit goes to the bench unit, we have three potential six men of the year.
I think Shamit is going to have a really hard time being a six man of the year, just given the way that his contributions have looked thus far. I think that if he's able to step up as a secondary playmaker, if he's able to add a bunch of defense, he's going to have to do a lot to really stand out as a six man of the year candidate, I think. And that's, you know, not a knock on his game, but it is like, it is what it is. I mean, he's a shooter, but thus far we haven't seen a whole lot else. And I don't think that's enough to win a six man of the year. I think that Trez might be out of the most improved player conversations, which I don't think is fair, but
do you think that's because no one really was following him, and then he had a good year, so it's hard to track
someone's
improvement when they've already had maybe their biggest jump in production?
I think last year was the single biggest jump that we'll see at one time, just because, yeah, like, to him...
I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah,
it was the best pick and roll of all time.
For him to have that big of a jump in numbers, like, from last year to this year...
That'd be great.
It'd be great. It would mean that this would be our last year with Trez. Like, we wouldn't be able to secure him really after that.
We're opening up a very depressing can of worms.
I mean,
so
I guess
far.
We're fine with the luxury tax, but I think, like, the most improved player thing, Trez, you know, got the snub last year, and I think if he is in that conversation this year, whoa. Look out,
it'd
rest
be crazy.
Of the league.
Yeah. I mean, Lou Will's still going to put up numbers that are going to be in that sixth man scenario.
Can Trez have a better year than last year? See, this, I do think yes. I do think he can have a better year this year than he did last year. There are places we outlined in a recent episode in his game that he could definitely grow. I'm just saying, like, in terms of how big of a jump he took from the 17-18 season to 18-19 season, if he were to make that same incremental leap, that's
that'd be incredible. Yeah, that was why we can't afford him and why he probably won't get most improved.
I mean,
improved.
That would mean that he'd have, like, better than a double-double every single game.
He'd get,
you know,
much
like
better
like mid-double-doubles, you know
for
what I
sure.
mean?
For sure. He'd get much better at defense.
He'd be a 20-10 guy who was, like, a rim protector and somehow still playing, like, 25 minutes off the bench.
Yeah, someone's saying on the stream that that's all-star stuff. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, he'd have to elevate to all-star numbers, I think, to have a similar jump. Like, the exponential jump just doesn't make sense. He can have a better year. He's not going to have the jump, like you said, from 2 years ago he had to this one. It'd just be insane.
Chonger saying it'd have to be a Siakam-type year. I would argue that other than the three-point shooting, Trez's year last year was as good, if not was better, than a Siakam year.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I think Siakam was better on defense, but that's
fair.
Chenny John, loyal listener, loyal question asker, asks, who is the ex-Clipper most likely to have a revenge game outburst this upcoming season? Then in parentheses, he said Avery Bradley, I guess, but hopefully it's no one. Dude, you got it right. It's Avery Bradley. It's gonna be Avery Bradley.
No, I actually disagree. I think that
that 140 pound frame of his is fueled by hate.
I think we might have a sneak game where, like, I don't know what their season is gonna look like, but I think we might have a sneak game where Shea, Chris Paul, and Gallo all come into Staples Center and are just ready to wipe the floor with us. And it'll be our luck that it's one of those nights where both George and Kawhi are out, and they they just absolutely shit on us. And I'll still be pretty happy, because I would like to. I mean, I love to see those guys succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be the only trio that I would want to have a revenge game on us. Some people in the comments are saying Wilson Chandler and Gortat. I don't know if Gortat is gonna do it.
If it's anyone, let it be Shea. Yes.
Yeah. Preferred revenge games. Shea 100%.
Yeah.
If Shea got a triple double.
Or Gallo. I mean, like, I'm happy with Gallo having, like, one of those games where he scores 15 points in the first 7 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Shea getting a triple double would be great. People are saying Boban on this stream. Boban would dominate Trez, and it would be, I mean, depending on what the situation is in the season with our wins loss, maybe fun to watch, but maybe not that fun to watch.
I guess Tobias could have a revenge game if you wanted to call it a revenge game.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, I think revenge game. That's why I think Avery Bradley's going to have it, because he's been such a jackass about his playing time and seemingly disrespectful.
Oh, Avery Bradley. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In terms of, like, narrative, that seems like the most revenge one.
And knowing with how all the Lakers play against us, Rondo and him are going to combine for like 65% from behind the arc and for like 8 of 12 or something like that from the 3-point line. Rudy Zavala asked a question. This is kind of what we were talking about yesterday. Yesterday we touched on kind of the disrespect that Mo Harkless and Patrick Patterson are getting. Rudy asks, I believe that new Clippers fans, which I welcome, are the ones asking Clippers to sign big NBA names. Longtime fans are happy with roster we have. What's your opinion on that?
To me it seems split. Cause
mixed bag.
There are some people that tout themselves as the longest fans that are really in on the Iguodala thing.
Yeah, that are super in on the Iguodala thing. I think it's a split. I think right now, I was talking with at StepbackTree on Twitter. I'm not sure if he's watching the stream right now, but you should check him out. He's a great dude to converse with about NBA things, particularly the Clippers. He was saying, we just all need to chill. We've had so much success in this offseason. We've had the best offseason in the history of the Clippers. And people are still like, what's the next move that's going to put us even more over the top? Because
I don't know that there is one at this point.
I don't think there is one, aside from a giant thing. And I don't know. I guess I'm asking listeners to let us know if they don't think we're at an over-the-top position. Because I feel as if we are over the top to win a championship.
I mean, which means I don't think that there's...
We're in the position to compete for one, and we have in a finals matchup against any other contenders, we have at least a 50-50 shot. Which to me, that's how I kind of define the over the top. Nothing's a lock in the current NBA with championships. Yeah. It's not even like when the Warriors had the, you know, their heyday.
Yeah.
Which was not that long ago, but now everything's so different.
Yeah.
Like, it's more wide open. I just don't...
I don't know.
Think we're
spoiled. I'm just like, it's, you know, this team, I feel like got to the point where it was around depth instead of names. I mean, that was like our huge storyline last year. No Kern or former All-Stars and made the playoffs. So I don't know. I think that like this name chasing thing is like a little bit different. And I think that it comes with being a little bit excited now that we got a few big names. But like,
it's kind of a privileged spot to be in, to be like, should we sign Melo?
I just think where we're at is really, really good. And I don't think it's worth sacrificing the depth to get someone like Iguodala.
Of course not. Someone on the stream said the only move that can put us over the top is trading Kawhi for Alex Caruso. Look.
Okay.
Not
all
mad
right.
At that. No. I think we're fine. If you're a fan who's listening or watching right now and you don't think we have a good chance to win or compete for the NBA championship
without Iguodala,
just let us know. Just let us know why. Because I want to hear some reasonings of why we're not going to win the championship, because we haven't heard a lot of them. So that might be interesting, actually. Maybe that'll give us a question to talk about next week. Coming back for this, just more questions. We'll be talking the Eastern Conference teams and how we stack up with that. I want to give a shout-out to Locked On Fantasy Football. You need to listen to that if you want to get your team right. I lost my first week. Not good. Should have listened to more Locked On Fantasy Football and Locked On NFL.
All All right. So somebody asked a great question on the live stream. How do can we talk about how we match up against Eastern Conference teams? I like that, and we'll dedicate like a larger chunk on this later.
For sure. Great question.
Just off top, to me, like big threats from the East are obviously, I mean, Philly is up there. The thing with Philly is they lost shooting somehow for a team that already like didn't have the greatest shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very big, which could be hard to deal with. I think that that's where we could definitely see the weakness at our like sort of thin rotation at the center position be exploited.
If they run like a Horford Embiid 4-5, I don't know what we do against that.
Yeah, with Simmons. But
that's a tough matchup.
But the thing is, you know, thus far they've been a team that really thrives in transition, which, you know, we can stop pretty easily.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think we match up really well against them. The length would be really hard. This team has historically like had a really hard time keeping the ball moving around those sort of longer teams.
If you remember, there was a period of time last year where teams were just playing zone against us, and it worked really well, which was frustrating.
So I think that one's difficult, but I mean, I like that the most out of teams that could probably come out of the East just because the shooting is not really there. And I think in the half court, like in a sort of grinded out series, I really think that favors us personally.
For sure. And then I think like the
Someone's congratulating me on being a Ravens fan. Oh, thanks, man. Everything's going great.
And if you look at, you know, like the Celtics, I don't think we have any problem with them.
I wouldn't even put the Celtics, though, like, in the top three in the East.
So there's, I mean,
the Bucks.
Bucks are going to be hard.
Bucks is really interesting because there you have.
That's a big-ass team right there.
There you have the whole
That's
package.
A big-ass team right there.
Yeah, you have all the length and size that Philly has, but you also have shooting. You have so much depth at the center position that it's, like, it's perfectly built for our weaknesses.
We can combat by maybe going small, but if going small is not working against the Bucks, that's hard.
I mean, like, that is one drawback is like both the Lopez's are a little bit older in age. So I do think like them having big defensive games is going to be a little bit harder. Though Robin is still pretty
good.
Mobile on defense.
They're
he had a
good.
Really solid game at Staples. But, I would see them as probably being the hardest. But still, there's so many questions for me about Bledsoe. Like, that he looks like he's still maybe not playoff ready. Middleton can have cold times. I wouldn't really trust if Middleton has to be your big scoring option if you're forcing Giannis to shoot.
Which is what we're going to do. Every team, if you've watched any of FIBA or any of the highlights, it's just don't let Giannis into the paint.
Yeah. we're built with those kind of defenders. So I don't know. I think that is also a pretty favorable matchup for us. I don't know. What are your two? What are your two in the East?
The two are the top two in the East.
Yeah.
It's the six. A couple people have commented on the stream if it's going to be Clippers, Sixers, or Clippers, Bucks finals. That's a very accurate prediction. That's what I think it's going to be, for the most part.
I would maybe toss the Pacers in there. I'm a big fan
of
the Pacers.
Oh, yeah, Pacers have depth.
Their depth is really good. Once again, though, like, when Oladipo comes back, is he going to be the Oladipo of old? They still, like, I don't know, like, even with the depth to me, they still kind of struggle to make reliable offense. Defensively,
for sure.
They're always going to be a solid team. I don't know. Is there anybody I'm sleeping on from
the
East?
I mean, other than the Magic, I can't really think anybody. You know what I mean? No, I don't know. And of course, Brogdon just decided to switch teams and go from the Bucks, where he was great, to the Pacers, which adds a whole nother wrinkle. I know I put the Pacers in there, too, as fringe, but the top two, I guess, bugaboos from the East seem like the Bucks 76ers, which is what it's going to be for every Western Conference.
What about the Nets? This won't be a finals matchup, obviously, but just playing the Nets during the regular season, do you think that they could give us any trouble?
They're kind of like
this season,
us.
Obviously Durantless.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know. Kyrie, I don't feel like you know what you're going to get with Kyrie on that team right now. He's really good. They have a great squad. It's kind of like Clippers East, I guess.
Yeah.
But I still think we got him. I don't know. I think Zoo's going to take a step where he's going to Jared Allen doesn't do much other than
protect the rim. I think that Zubats is better than Jared Allen offensively.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And if he makes a growth this year, that'll be even more apparent. Somebody said the Heat are going to be low-key good. I'm interested. I'm for sure interested. I could see it.
Yeah. We have a good question, speaking of the Heat, from Second Gen LAC. What other players are worth what we gave up for Paul George?
Oh, like for that same amount of... Yeah. I would put Bradley Beal in there as like the first apparent guy for me. I don't know.
There's not a long list.
For me, it's
got
to be like a two-way guy is to me like what makes Paul George so great. Like I wouldn't give up that much for like a point guard. Like I wouldn't ever give up that much for a Russ or even a point guard, I guess, that I like more, like Mike Conley.
Damn.
To me, it has to be kind of a two-way guy.
There's not many. I mean, there's maybe...
People are saying AD, and I would never give up that much for AD. I would maybe give up Gallo for AD. Like,
what?
Maybe.
That's it?
Maybe.
That's insane.
I'm sorry. I've never seen him, like, he doesn't have a track record of winning to me. I would give up close to what we gave up, maybe less the draft picks for Drew Holiday.
I put Embiid
or minus Shea. If you take Shea out of the trade, give everything else, and we get Drew Holiday, I think that that's like a really good pairing. Just because he'd play great next to Shea.
I think
Kawhi, I feel like.
I think Embiid is in that list. Embiid is a guy who I would have given up that much for.
Gallo for AD, man. I'm saying
that's
it.
That's a lunatic.
Anthony Davis has never proven anything to me. Like, I'm not convinced that he's a winner.
And somehow Gallo has. I love Gallo.
Gallo's a winner.
All right. Well, historically, kind of, I guess. Richard Guidos asks, if Elton Brand makes it into the Hall of Fame, does he go in as a Clipper?
Ooh, good call.
I hope so. That would be pretty rad.
I think so.
Man, would he be the first one? No, because...
Basketball Reference lists them as a Hall of Famer if they've played for that team at all. According to Basketball Reference, we've got like 7 Hall of Famers.
I think he would maybe go in. I don't know, man. He did play his longest tenure for the Clippers.
Actually,
it was maybe the Bulls. No, it was the Clippers. Yeah, he goes in as the Clippers. Absolutely goes in for the Clippers, 100%. Or he goes in as a GM.
Yeah.
Because he's a GM for the 76ers currently.
But I don't know. I don't see his GM career thus far being Hall of Fame.
Being like Hoff level, unless they get a chip. For sure. Well, you know, if he's making trades like AD for Gallo, I think he could give anyone the GM thing. From loyal listener Oluwakandi69, again, hold on to that username for as long as you can.
Cherish it.
He wants to know, will we see Durag, Trez, or Harkless this season? # wave check. Well, I don't think Trez is going to wear a Durag because he has way too much hair right now.
Yeah.
Harkless is rocking fantastic braids, which look great. You should check out his IG or the current hype video.
I hope we see Paul George in a durag. He would just look great with some really crisp waves, I think.
Paul George would have some good waves. Bev could have some good waves.
Ooh, yeah.
Which would be interesting.
He usually keeps the hair longer, though.
Yeah, that's true. I'm genuinely more curious than I thought I'd be about what Trez is going to do about, someone's asking about it, the Ninja Headband Band. What's he going to do?
We feel poorly about the Ninja Headband
No one likes it. If you like the Headband Band, come through. Drop a pin. We'll meet up.
We have 3 guys with braids. Not enough.
You're damn right we do. No, I don't know what he's going to do for headwear.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to go, like, full-on FU and, like, try and just wear, like, a ball cap or something?
Well, I just think that... we talked about this in private a little bit earlier, but if you have long hair, like, that style of headband makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Like, you can tie it up. I mean, I don't know, like, maybe he'll wear, like, a more traditional wrap.
I feel like they would ban that, too, because the issue with the headband...
I don't think so. I think when it comes to dreads, like, the NBA knows better than, like, that's a situation where you get into the spotlight very quickly.
But we didn't think they would do the headband wrap, right? So I feel like because of this crazy domino...
That's true.
It's like, because they cited safety...
I think with the headband thing, if short-haired dudes never wore it, Like, if the, let's say De'Aaron Fox was the guy with the shortest hair who wore one, it would never have gotten banned. I think when you see the guys with, like, a, if you have a two guard, say, all around your head.
You don't need it.
And you're wearing the ninja headband, that's where it maybe looks a little goofy. Sorry, Mike Scott. I think that you look great in it. But I think that, like, that's, those are the guys who maybe took away the thing. Because otherwise you could, you could just legitimately argue this is to control my hair.
Yeah. And no, I just want to see, give me a list.
Headband with Adam Silver across it.
There you go. Give me a list of all of the injuries last year ever associated that were caused directly from a headband.
Yeah.
Give me all of them. Send me that PDF.
Other than the injuries of people's reputations after just being savagely dunked on by someone with a ninja headband.
But like no one's...
That's probably why it got banned. Adam Silver got clowned on by somebody at the YMCA who was wearing a ninja-style headband, and he said no more.
He's playing
never
in the
again.
With Goodell. literally zero. Someone on the stream said, no one is... You're not getting your wrist cut up. You're not jamming a finger. Like, it's not going in your eyes.
Yeah, it's a childish band. These aren't like, it's not like a toothpick in the mouth that you're like running around.
It's not a lit cigarette. It's not a lit cigarette. People are saying I don't think there's any indirect injuries. It's crazy. I don't know. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, like, that's all I got.
We wrapped up. We're going to hang out on the stream for a few more minutes to answer your guys' questions, talk, shoot the shib about whatever. Tomorrow we're going to be doing that classic What Could Have Been Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. What could be.
In the Errol universe. It's very spooky over there. Thank you guys so much for watching on the stream. Thank you for listening on iTunes, on Deezer, on Spotify, and all that stuff. Please rate, subscribe. Check out at Will Updike, at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.